William Norman Grigg, a columnist for LouRockwell.com, notes that the 1033 program specifies that any law enforcement agency receiving military equipment must use it within a year or return it. If a police department wants combat gear, it can get it, and once the department has that gear, it will use it. In fact, the feds will require that they invent a need where none exists. This helps explain why routine police calls are now treated as potential military engagements, writes Grigg. Some law enforcement agencies obtain military gear out of fear of being outgunned by criminals, while others simply want to emulate the militarized forces they see on TV and in films. Ominously, a 2014 investigation by the TV and digital network Fusion revealed that 184 state and local police departments had been suspended from the 1033 program because of missing weapons or failure to comply with guidelines. We uncovered a pattern of missing M14 and M16 assault rifles across the country, as well as instances of missing 45 caliber pistols, shotguns, and two cases of missing Humvee vehicles, write Daniel Rivero and Jorge Rivas. Tim Lynch, director of the Cato Institute's Project on Criminal Justice, says the 1033 program is obviously very sloppy, and it's another reason that Congress needs to revisit this promptly. We don't know where these weapons are going, whether they are really lost, or whether there is corruption involved. Lynch found the possibility that these military weapons were being sold on the black market very unsettling. Investigations into missing weapons have been continuing in 2015. Nowhere has the militarization of police been more blatantly on display than in the violence that erupted in August 2014 in the St. Louis suburb of Ferguson. Tensions there mounted following the police shooting of 18-year-old Michael Brown, and when demonstrators from the black community took to the streets to protest, they were met by heavily armed and armored police in full battle gear. Jake Tapper of CNN reported that there was no violence and looting until police began using tear gas and stun grenades. "Nobody is threatening anything," reported Tapper. "Nobody is doing anything. None of the stores here that I can see are being looted. There is no violence." Tapper turned his camera to the unit of police and added, "These are armed police, with machine, not machine guns, semi-automatic rifles, with batons, with shields, many of them dressed for combat. Now, why they're doing this, I don't know. Because there is no threat going on here, none that merits this." Comparing the scene to military action in Afghanistan, Tapper reported, "There is nothing going on this street right now that merits this scene out of Bagram. Nothing. So if people wonder why the people of Ferguson, Missouri are so upset, this is part of the reason. What is this? This doesn't make any sense." Frederick Reese, writing for Mint Press News, agreed that the massive police response did more to aggravate than to improve the situation. "The response, which included the targeting and arrest of journalists, is proof of the elaborated social identity model, ESIM, which suggests that a group of angry people can either be goaded into a riot or defused, depending on how they are treated by police."